Amen. Well, I'm grateful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. How many are grateful to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord. Somebody say, why are you excited, Brother Felipe? Just think because God is good. Man, how many know that God is good? Right? We could be going through many things, but at the end of the day, God is nothing but good. Amen. How many are grateful just for our worship team? We know we got a good worship team that's able to lead us into the presence of God. And that's what we need, right? We, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. So first off, we need the presence of God. Just want to thank the worship team for just, you know, ushering in and allowing us to be in the presence of God. I know that we've been having these services, and for those that have been here, Friday's service, I know that Pastor Jamie has been sharing, Brother David's been sharing every once in a while when I share, and we've kind of had that same topic about what Pastor's been speaking about, discipleship, the heart. But how many have heard a saying that it's not just information, it's transformation. And that's what we need, not just head knowledge, right? Not just information, but we got to do application. We got to do our part, right? So I just want to thank the Lord for my salvation. I've been saved, I think, a little bit over 7 years. I don't know when I got saved. A lot of people say that's the most important date. I never remembered it. It happened, and to me, it caught me by surprise. All I know is that I've never been the same, but I considered myself a little bit over 5 years saved, because when I came to Victory Ranch, Milwaukee, this is where God started to work within my life. This is where it was a long story, but I left everything. I left everything, and I didn't think about it twice. I haven't looked back, and this is where I'm at now. So I want to thank God for my salvation. I want to thank my pastors. Pastor Charlie and Sister Marlene, how many know we got great pastors, right? I really believe, everybody says it, but I really believe we got the best pastors. I love my pastor, right? He knows exactly where I'm at. I don't know how he does it, but he knows exactly where I'm at. He knows exactly what I need. I always tell the men, I live with the men. I work with the men. I know the men. And I'm learning the men, and as I live with them, eat with them, breathe with them, get tired of them, Pastor walks in the house, 2 seconds, and 2 seconds later, he pinpoints exactly where every last one of them is at. And he lets me know, this is going on, watch out over there, this is going to happen. You know, but that's our pastor. Amen. I love my pastors. And lastly, I just want to thank my wife. Amen. She's my back-to-back partner, wife. Amen. This one's for you. Maybe I stole some of your notes, maybe I didn't. But I love my wife, and I thank God now he's blessed us with a beautiful future daughter that I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know that as long as I have Jesus, I'll be ready. Amen. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. When you get to Acts chapter 6, say, I'm ready. Acts chapter 6. We need like half of you guys to be ready. Is everybody else ready? Acts chapter 6. You guys are spoiled that we have the projectors. You got to bring your Bibles. How many still bring your Bibles? How many have a Bible, right? I mean, we should all have Bibles, right? They should be tore up. They should be falling apart. We need Bibles. We're a Bible-believing church. It's nothing but the Word of God. Acts chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. Hopefully, I just share and communicate this little story with you guys as best as I can. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just come before you once again. We thank you, Lord God, that you are already here. Lord, your word says that you will go before me. I ask that you go before me. I know that you hear our prayers. I just simply pray of your anointing to allow me just to communicate this message. Allow us to receive of what you want us to receive. Bless this word, for it's in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen and amen. As I thought about that story, amen, I had a hard time really separating and finding the time really to dig into this story. To grab something. I shared Wednesday prayer. Amen. How many were here on Wednesday prayer? Amen. And a shout out to those that come on Wednesday prayer. I'm going to get ahead of my notes. There's a saying that goes, if you want to see how famous the church is, go on any day. If you want to see how famous the pastor is, go on Sunday. If you want to see how famous God is, go on the prayer night. That's when you know who really loves God. Amen. So hopefully you guys got convicted and you come on Wednesday night to receive of the Lord. But I was separating. I was getting some time really to get this message together, to get time apart. I didn't want to just put anything together, just say, okay, I'm done. But I wanted to get a hold of God. That's what it really is, to come up here to share. So I know I need God. I know if I don't get with the Lord, I won't be right. And it was a long day, Wednesday, long day, Thursday. And I watched the winter retreat with the guys. So we were able to just enjoy and see what God's doing, watch a great preaching, just tremendous preaching. And then I separated. So, okay, guys, I'll see you later. I got to go pray. I got to go get ready. So I stood in prayer. I read my Bible. I prayed some more. I looked to the scriptures and nothing, right? And nothing and nothing and nothing. I had to wake up at 4 o'clock the next day. And I stayed up, I don't know how late. Finally, I said, okay, God, you know, I trust in you. There's going to be a little break at the job site. I'll just, you know, hopefully pinpoint at that time. So then I called it a night. Woke up, went through our usual routine, went through our prayer, went through our devotion. And I was supposed to get picked up at like 6:30 on the dot. We were supposed to get picked up and go to a job site. So I called the individual and he never showed up. And I called and he didn't answer. I called someone else, they didn't answer. So I said, praise God, I know what I got to do. And I got in time to put the message together. So I thank God that God is always faithful. How many can say amen? Amen. As we get into the story, this is a familiar story. How many know this story? Right? It's just a familiar story. It's in the beginning of the early church. And I love those stories of the beginning of the early church. They teach us a lot. They model a lot of how we should be. Right? If anybody wants to know, well, how should we be as a church? How should we be as disciples? The book of Acts is the perfect place to start. Right? It shows us how we should be. It's a model. And here we see in the book of Acts, many things happened in the beginning. A lot of things were going on. The Apostle Peter, he preached his first sermon and 3,000 got saved. Right? What a sight to see. And then after that, there was persecution. I mean, no, persecution comes when you're doing the right things, when you're doing the will of God. Then there was healings. There was miracles. A lot of good things. A lot of great things was taking place. But at the same time, those persecutions and healings and miracles, signs and wonders, the church was growing, many things was happening. And here we see what happened when the church was growing, when the church was on the move. Right? How many want to see our church full? Now, our church on the move. You know, you got to expect these things to happen. So they did not only have good problems or bad problems, but they had good problems. And that's what we come across. They had a good problem. It was too many people. And they said, we need some help. And that's what I want to share on, just simple little points. Hopefully get us out of here early. You guys can go home and rest up. But really grab a hold of what God did within their lives. Hopefully he could do in our lives. So they come across a good problem in the early church. And it was a simple problem. The problem was they were growing. The church was growing. As the church was growing, the need was growing. I mean, no, as the church grows here in Victory Outreach, Milwaukee, there's going to be a need that's going to arise. And that need is for many things. That's going to be a need for discipleship that Pastor talks about. It's going to be a need for ministry that Pastor preaches about. That we have many ministries, kids gang and ushers. There's going to be a need simply to be in position. A need just simply to pray. Prayer is a need. Prayer is a necessity that we must do as individuals. As the church grows, we can't remain the same. We must grow. And that's what we see here. The church was growing, but they needed the body to grow, the body of Christ. There's an old saying that goes, the church cannot outgrow the leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So we need more disciples to rise up, more leaders, up-and-coming leaders to rise up and answer the call of God. So here we see a problem. And the problem was that it was a simple problem. The disciples were taking place and they were receiving the word of God. They were enjoying their company. And there's two individuals. There's the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews. Simply put, Hebraic Jews, back then it was just those that were just of Jewish origin. That's how they started. The gospel was just being preached to the Jewish people first. Jesus said, I came to the lost house of Israel. I came to the lost sheep of Israel. I can't go that route now. God has called me here first. But then God opened that door to the Gentiles. And that's why you and I are here. None of us are Jewish, I believe. Amen. If you are, come talk to me. I apologize, right? The Hellenistic Jews were just another group of Jews that had Greek background. And simply put, one was ignoring the other. He's getting more food, right? I have that in the men's home all the time. Why does he get more food? Why does he go first? Right? You like me? Okay, they're going to like me later. But it was simple problems. Within these simple problems, there was a solution. The solution, we see here, it wasn't for more preachers. They didn't say, we need more preachers. Then he said, we need more pastors. Then he said, we need more singers. Then he said, we need more worshipers. Then he said, we need none of these things. The things that were needed was we need more disciples. And that's what we see. He said, we need more disciples. That's where the 12 came in. Verse 2, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. So I'm going to give some quick points. Amen. We're all going to get saved again and filled with the Holy Ghost and set on fire for God and go back home, set those on fire for God and take the city for Jesus. How many can say amen? Man, I'm going to give you quick points that just we find within this story. Number one is that not everything falls on the leadership. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? Not everything falls on the leadership. And that's, I think, a misconception that we have in the church. That we think that it's only for a certain group of people. Well, they got to do it. I'm not ready yet. I'm not qualified yet. That's not, let him do it. He does it anyways. He does a better job. I'm okay right here. Just, you know, I'm okay. I'm not going to get involved in that ministry. Don't push me a little bit farther. I just want to come, hear the message, and go home, turn on some TV, and go to sleep. Right? That's not the church. Right? That wasn't the early church. That's not the church now. That's not the church that I knew. That's never the church. That will never be the church. Right? We need disciples who get involved. We need disciples who are ready. Here we see that the 12, the apostles, said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry. In other words, when that happens, if they leave one area to fill another, they're going to leave a hole. They're neglecting. In other words, they're not paying attention to that need. And that's what I want to get across. There's many needs in the church. How many can say amen? How many have felt those needs? Right? I mean, there's needs everywhere. Here, just our pastor's gone. The leadership's gone. There's needs. Needs to be in position. Maybe more needs in the worship team. Maybe more needs in ushers. Maybe more kids gang teachers. Right? We need more kids gang teachers who are anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit, who love teaching, who have a gift for working with children. There's needs in the kitchen. When we have events going on, the events don't run themselves. Not everything just flows. Not everything just happens overnight. There's work that takes place. There's needs that are met. There's things that get filled. There are people in position. And it's not just the leadership. It's the people that, like you and I, right? It's the people who were not once a people. How many can say amen? It's the people who were lost, who were bound, but God has set free for his honor, for his glory, to serve what God wants to do within our lives. How many can say amen? We're called to serve. It's a simple call to discipleship. And there's many needs. I remember, it just came across my mind, the youth regional, and we were talking to one of the brothers in the home, and we asked him, hey, do you remember the preaching? And he said, I don't remember the preaching. I just remember as soon as, you know, the service started, prayer was over, I got called into the kitchen. I rolled about 400 burritos. And that's all I did. And I said, wow, you did. I forgot about that. As soon as prayer was over, they took him away, and he stayed serving. He just remained a disciple in position, serving all day long from about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, One, two, three, how many hours is that? 8 hours maybe? Just serving. Someone who's in position. But that's what we need. So many times we leave gaps. Because we got to put on this hand and that hand. There's a gap that's left. And then it makes us weak. So we need disciples who are willing to say, I'm going to step in. I'm willing to fill that gap. I'm willing to do that area. I'll do what nobody else wants to do. Right? That was me in the world. You gave me a challenge and I would do it. You think I won't do it? I'll do it just to prove you wrong. Right? That was who I was. When it comes to the things of the Lord, I'll do anything. Because I know what God has done within my life. I know where God pulled me out of. I know who I was. So I'm just grateful. I'll serve at any capacity. It doesn't matter where, I'll just serve. Because I know that's what God called us to do. I'm grateful for what God has done. Right? We have responsibilities within our lives. They already had a responsibility the apostles had, so they couldn't give it up. The question is, do you know your responsibility here this night? A responsibility in the kingdom of God. It's a responsibility to serve, not just to come, like I said earlier, hear a good preaching and leave. It's a responsibility to answer the call of God. We're here not by coincidence. We're here not by chance. But I truly believe, I don't know about you, but I truly believe that God has called us. I believe with all my heart. There's no doubt within my mind that God has called me, that God has separated me, that God has a calling upon my life. I know that God has done a work within my life. Because of that, there's a responsibility for me to answer that call. It's a responsibility. We all have a responsibility wherever it's at. Right? Some are not going to preach. Some are not going to be in the worship team. Some are just going to usher. Some are just going to evangelize. Some are just going to let others know. But we all have a responsibility. It's the body of Christ. Right? Not sure where it's at. It's in Romans 12. You can read it by yourself. Get your Bible. Challenge yourself. Right? It says the nose cannot tell the ear, I don't need you. The eyes can't say to the feet, you're not a part of me. We're all together. One cannot do what the other does. Pastor, he gives great counseling sessions. And I sit there and I listen. He gives the greatest revelation when he counsels. And when he said that, it struck me really good. When he said that, you know, you can't separate the body parts. One may be the eye, one may be the ear, but they both need each other equally. They both complement each other. There was a saying, a young man from the UTC, he said, we're not here to compete against one another. We're here to complete one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is completing each other. Not supposed to be, it's just serving in any capacity. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, it says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, that was the need in the early church, discipleship, truly I tell you that that person will certainly not lose their reward. Doesn't matter where we're serving. It doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter who's looking, who's not looking. Right? What matters is that God knows where we're at. What matters is ultimately God gives us the reward, not man. We shouldn't be looking for God or for man to raise us up. We shouldn't be looking for, okay, look at me, look at what I'm doing. All you got to know is that in due time you shall reap a harvest if you do not give up. Because it doesn't matter what we do. We're doing it unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says, right? Do everything not as unto man, but as unto the Lord. He's the one that rewards. Even that little cup of water, when you serve in a ministry, rolling up 400 burritos, God blesses those times. He says, even giving a cup of, I will surely reward you for that. Right, I'm scared when I read the Bible and there's scriptures that really convict me. I kind of sometimes don't want to, I pretend I never read them. Oh, man, right? But where it says that God will reward you for every act. It says God will reward you for every act of obedience and disobedience. Sometimes I think, man, how have I been lately? How many rewards am I going to get? Let me get more rewards. Let me look at how I'm doing. We're disciples, and that's what we need to know. Not everything just falls And those that know, we need to step in. I remember when I came in the back. I was faithful as an usher. That's all I ever did. This is a true story. I don't know if I shared this. If not, praise the Lord if I did, right? But there was an event. It was the grand opening of this church. And it happened about 2012, I believe. And there was ushers. And Brother Jason, he was the overseer of the ushers. So I reported. I said, okay, I'm here. I'm early. I'm on time. Right? How many know we got to report early, right? Early. And then I said, where do you want me? I was new, and it was the grand opening. Pastor Herb was here. A multi-regional Pastor Nick was here. The whole region was here. So I said, you know, where are you going to have me? And he said, you're in the back. You're doing back parking lot. So I said, praise God. Amen. God knows what he's doing. I'll go to the back. I was in the back by myself. I heard all the noise. Everybody's having fun. Everybody's having a great time, and I'm in the back. People pass by, you know. Where do you go in? The doors are over here, and I was wanted to walk them in all the way just to see what was going on. It's over there. Go ahead, you know. And in my mind, I'm doing a good job of making sure the cars are staying safe, making sure people know where to go. I'm in position. And then they were about to cut the ribbon. So I went to Pastor. I said, Pastor, you know, they're going to cut the ribbon. Can I stay here and watch so that I can see the grand opening? And I will not forget Pastor Smooth. He says, well, you can, but who is going to be in the back? I said, oh, man. That time my wife wasn't even saved. I was just happy she came. I wanted to be with her. And I said, oh, you got it, Pastor. Say no more. I went to the back. And I'm in the back by myself. And I started, you know, you got to talk to yourself. You got to be imaginative. You got to be positive when you're in positions like that. I started quoting scripture. God, you created the earth and the moons. Lord, you know every cloud and every star, right? And then I heard the grand opening and everybody cheering. And I was in the back, right? Just in position. I didn't complain. I didn't say, I don't like this. That's not fair. Switch me. I knew that God was in control. Because of that, look what the Lord has done. God exalts the humble. Number two, God, they didn't just need any disciples. They did not just need any men. I didn't finish writing the rest of my point. Not just any disciples. Disciples full of the Spirit. Verse 3, it says, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. A couple points here. What makes a good disciple? Right? Do you want to be a good disciple? How many want to be a good disciple? Right? 2 people. How many want to be a good disciple? I don't know about you, but I want to be a good disciple. I would like for me to be said he did something great for the Lord. That's what I want from my life. Right? This area can lack. This area is hard. It's an area that, you know, it's hard to press into. Apostle Paul said it best himself in Philippians 3. He said, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but one thing I do is that I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Apostle Paul knew how to press on. In times where he was weary, he pressed on. The scripture that says in our weakness, his power is made perfect in our weakness. It's his power that we need within our lives. Right, to do God's work. How many want to do God's work? Not just any work. Right, it's one thing to clock in, clock out, do your work. If you sit behind the computer, if you operate a machine, however you work, wherever you work at, that's one type of work. Anybody can do it. Nowadays, the job site that we go to, people show up high, drunk, people show up all kinds of ways. Anybody can do any type of work. To do God's work, it can't be done anyway. It can't be done any which way. There's only one way. You need the Spirit of the Lord to receive what God has for you. You need the Spirit of God to lead you. You need the Spirit of God to anoint your life, to not only to preach the gospel, right? To preach with power, to let others know there's power in the name of Jesus, to lay hands and believe what you're doing is going to happen. It's only one way. We need the Spirit of God. How many can say amen? There's a scripture, I didn't write down where it's at, I believe it's in Matthew 5:12. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those are the ones that are blessed. What do you hunger for? Right? What do we hunger for here this night? It's a question that I always know my answer. I stop caring for the things of the world. I stop caring for material things. I mean, Pastor knows how my car is doing. I stopped bothering with that issue a long time ago. I don't care for those areas any longer. I gave up my job. I gave up my money. I gave up my house to answer the call of God. Why? There was a hunger within my life. There wasn't a hunger for a better job. There wasn't a hunger for more money. There wasn't a hunger for a bigger house. There was a hunger to answer the call of God upon my life. That's what we need here this night. How many they still hunger for the word of God? Is there still a hunger within your life to say, God, I want what you have within me? Is there still a hunger to say, God, I'm not satisfied. I can't just go to sleep right now. I can't just wake up normal anymore. I can't just show up. There's a hunger within my life. I need to be satisfied. That only happens by answering the call of God. That only happens by being filled of the Spirit of God. Well, how many can say amen? Amen? King David said it himself. He said, create in me a new heart. His heart wasn't working. And then he says, give me a willing spirit. And that's what he knew he needed. That's what the disciples knew they needed. Men and women that were full of the Spirit. A willing spirit. Not a complaining spirit. Why? Let's not get into that. We're doing good right now. Let's keep going forward. They needed men and women to be full of the Spirit. Why is that important? Judges 14:6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord, catch this verse, came powerfully upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. Same book, Judges chapter 3, verse 10. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 10. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him. When you read the book of Acts, or the Old Testament, excuse me, you read the Old Testament. And all these, not only these scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, you hear the saying, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. You got to understand what that means, right? The Spirit of the Lord came upon them, which means it would eventually leave. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon Samson, but then it would leave. The Spirit of the Lord came upon King Saul. He prophesied, but then it would leave. The Spirit of the Lord came upon these individuals. The Spirit of the Lord rested upon them, but he did not remain upon them. That's interesting. We have to know why. Why is that important? That we got to know that. Say, why, Brother Felipe? You guys are so learned it. You guys are so hungry. I'll tell you why. It wasn't until Jesus stepped into the picture that Jesus had to tear the veil. What did he say? He said, it's for your benefit that I leave. He said, I can't stay. I can't hang out with you forever. It's for your benefit that I leave. When I leave, who was supposed to come? It's the Spirit of the Lord that was supposed to come. He said, I have to leave. It's better that I leave. For the Spirit of God can come within you. How many have the Spirit of God within their lives? How many want more of the Spirit of God within their lives? Jesus said, I have to go, but don't worry. He said, I'm going to send my comforter. I pray that all the time. When I'm having trouble, when I'm going through it, when I have issues. I'm far from perfect. I have a lot of problems and complexities. I say, God, your word says you've given me the comforter. I need your comfort right now. It's the Spirit of the Lord. It's many things that the Spirit of the Lord is called. He's our teacher. God, I need you to be my teacher right now. I'm getting into your word. I don't all the time understand your word. Matter of fact, I have to preach your word. I need of your understanding, which comes by your Spirit. But in order for that to happen, Jesus had to come in. He had to die on the cross. He had to leave to send us the Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we all know that scripture. But you shall receive power when? When the Spirit of the Lord, when the Holy Spirit this time comes on you. Not just comes on you, rest upon our lives. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, all of them were now filled. Now it changed. Before it was the Spirit of the Lord came. Now is they were filled. with the Holy Spirit. The disciples knew they did not need ordinary man. They didn't need qualified man. They didn't need man that had been in the ministry 20 years, 30 years. They did not need people, women that knew, had it all together. They needed disciples that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 8, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference between the Peter that denied Jesus, ran away at the time of need, to the point of even cursing and saying, I don't even know the man. Yes, I lived with him. Yes, he discipled me. Yes, he loved me. Yes, he rebuked me. I don't know who he is. That's what happened to Peter when he wasn't full of the Spirit. How many have been there? You not all the way right with the Lord. Things begin to happen. Convictions begin to fade away. It's a dangerous place. You're not reading your Bible. It's a dangerous place. You don't want to listen to our pastor. It's a dangerous place. You don't want to take heed or correction. It's a dangerous place. But then we see what happened to Peter when he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. He wasn't afraid now to tell the Pharisees. He wasn't afraid now to tell them it was Jesus, the one. You crucified Jesus. He wasn't afraid to preach. He wasn't afraid. Why? He was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Acts 4:31, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. How many need boldness to speak the word of God? At your job site, to your family, to neighbors. It's not easy to speak the word of God. It's confrontational. People don't want to hear the word of God. There's a person at the job site. I started talking to him. I started saying, well, you know, what do you believe in? Man, he started opening up, sharing all kinds of nonsense. I had to walk away. Oh, man. Whoa, what's going on right there? And I had to, you know, regain composure, come back, and let them know, well, who God is. This is who God is. Okay, this is who Jesus is. Not the Jesus you're making up. No, this is who Jesus is. I'm only able to do that because of the Spirit of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine. You could use that little scripture. Do not be drunk on wine. Do not be drunk on anger. Do not be drunk on depression. Do not be drunk on jealousy. Don't be drunk with anything else. Don't be drunk with the world. Don't be drunk with these things, which leads to debauchery, leads to things that are not good. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God. That's a command, right? That's a command. That one's not an option. When I read that one, I don't like reading it. I say, oh, man, got to get more of the Spirit of the Lord right now. They need people that are sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. How many know what it's like to be sensitive to the Spirit of God? He'll make you do things you don't want to do. He'll tell you to go over here, speak to that. I don't want to speak. Apologize. I don't want to apologize. Why do I got to apologize? He was wrong. He's the one that talked to me bad. Why do I got to apologize? That's how the Holy Spirit works. It flows in line with His Word. It's what they're looking, not overqualified, not people that have it all together, but just people that are sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. One of my prayers to this day, every day, as much as I can. Luke 11:13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. How many know Christmas is coming? Bible calls us evil, right? Not Brother Felipe. The Bible just calls us evil. So you are evil, are still going to go out your way and buy a $200 present for someone that you don't like, right? And wrap it up just to go ahead and put them back on your good side. It says, know how to give good gifts. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Right? Are we asking for the Holy Spirit? What are we asking for in our time with the Lord? What are we asking of God? God, you know, I want you to do this and take care of that person, and I'm done with this, and I don't like that, and I'm not going to listen. Oh, he told me, but no. I mean, one prayer to just pray all week long, from here till next Friday. If we all pray that prayer, every morning, every day, if all of us pray that prayer, say, God, fill me with your Spirit. Just imagine the change. Just imagine how our hearts, our mindsets, everything. How we view things. The scripture that says, Paul says, I pray that they open the eyes of your heart. That only happens with the Spirit of the Lord. It's a simple prayer, but do we pray that prayer? Do we ask, God, fill me with your Spirit? There's too much of me right now. I get angry easily. Matter of fact, I don't even want to talk to that individual. I don't even know if I want to make it to church. What's the point of going to church all the time? Wednesday prayer, what's the point of praying on Wednesdays? Why do we got to go Friday? What? I already went last time. They're asking too much of me. That's what happens when we're not full of the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of God that leads us. That's why they said choose those that are known to be full of the Spirit, right? And wisdom. I didn't want to get into wisdom. I concentrated just on the importance of the Spirit of God. How many know we need more of the Spirit of God within our lives? Right? The Spirit of the Lord is doing a work within our lives. And lastly, why was it important to raise up disciples? Why was it important for the 12 to say it's not good for us? We got to find somebody. They knew they couldn't do it all themselves. I read someone put it, I believe it was Sister Myra that was putting up a post about, what's her name, the ministries, I can't think of her name now, but they put something about what made your ministry last this long, right? It said, what made you last over 25, 30 years of ministry? And she said it was a woman, a well-known speaker. She said, number one, I know that I can't do everything myself. Number two, I know that I need others to help me. Even if I'm not going to like the way they do it, I still need others to help me. We knew it. Here we see the disciples, they knew they couldn't do everything themselves. But the point is, it's important for other disciples to raise up. Why? For our leaders, our pastors, however you want to see it, just simply to continue in God's vision. Right? To continue in God's vision, to continue in relationship with the Lord. I mean, you know our pastor. Pastor, every time you hear pastor talk, what does he always say? I'm in my office, right? You need me? I'm in my office. I call him, Pastor, are you busy? I'll call you later if you're busy. I know where you're going to be at. It's his relationship with the Lord that he values. It's his relationship with the Lord that must be there first. But if we're not in position, right, if we're not doing our parts, if we're not grabbing a hold of the Spirit of the Lord ourselves, we might pull him out of position. We might pull our pastor out of that relationship with the Lord. We might pull him out because we're not doing our part. It's important that we got to do our part first. Why? Verse 4, we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The disciples knew what was needed. They knew what worked within their lives. They saw it modeled in front of them. They followed Jesus. And all he did was get into prayer. They knew we got to get into prayer. We cannot neglect prayer. That's an area we can't forget. We can't let go of. We might miss it over here. We can miss it over there. We can't neglect getting a hold of God. That's the one thing that should be priority in all of our lives is getting a hold of God. It's prayer. There's a preaching I heard a long time ago. I think it was Jim Cimbala. And he was talking about the book of Acts. What separated, what happened in those early times? How did they know people were being used of God? The common language was just go to this person. He's praying. Go over here. He's calling upon my name. I have to answer his prayer. Go respond to that man. Go over here. You don't even know his name. They will say, how do I know when I go there who he is? They said, behold, he's just praying. That's all he does is he gets into prayer. That's what we see in the book of Acts. That's what worked. That's what produced results. That's what was effective. That's what I talked about last time. We still see it here. We cannot neglect prayer. We cannot neglect the ministry of the word. It's something that has to be in us. It's something that has to be in all of us. We're all disciples. We're all men and women of God. We've all been called. We've all been chosen. Right? We've all been separated. We've all been saved, we've all been sanctified, we've all known what God has done within our lives. How many believe what God has done within our lives? How many value what God has done within our lives? If you value, if you believe, you can't neglect getting a hold of God. We will create a revival in 2 seconds. When we simply grab a hold of what God has for our lives. It's important to lift up our pastors. It's important to lift up our leaders, that they remain in position. Exodus chapter 17. Amen. As I come to a closing, I know that there is no piano man, is there? Let's see if they could get him up in time. I don't know if they have a song or two. Just kind of do something lightly in the name of Jesus. Exodus chapter 17. We all know this story. It's a familiar story, right? Everybody preaches about it. I think Pastor shared it really well. A lot of good points. You could break this down. You could really get a lot from this. You could really receive a lot. But the point, the principle remains the same. The principle is always there. And it's just the importance of our leaders remaining in that area of prayer. It's just simply the importance of our leaders remaining in position. Exodus 17:11. As long as Moses held up his hands, just represented that relationship with the Lord. Represented Moses just being in position, calling upon the name of the Lord, just being where he's supposed to be at. The Israelites were winning, right? The church, you could say, was thriving, was growing. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. It's just a simple illustration. Every time I hear pastor talk, that's what he says. He said, pray, just keep this in prayer. He calls and he called me the other day. He said, here's a name, pray for it, and bye. I said, okay. You know, and I was at work, and I had to just, the whole day at work, I was just trying to pray, working. I looked like, you know, looked like a zombie. I looked weird. I was just praying, and then he pulled us in, and he said, well, you know, this is the name, this happened, and it worked. God answered the prayer, right? I just give Jesus a hand of praise, but that's our pastor. He knows that prayer works. That's what he says. That's why I like this scripture. It represents really our Moses, our pastor, our leader. And it's important for us, as we remain in position, that he can remain in position. Just spending that time with the Lord. That's what makes him that man of God that he is. Right, that's what keeps him in position. I don't know about you, but I love my pastor. Right, I want to see my pastor grow in the things of the Lord as a husband, as a man of God, as a father. He has many responsibilities. Many responsibilities. It's important for us to be in position that he doesn't have to neglect those areas. He can take care of what he needs to take care of. It's a simple little story of one problem, one little situation, and how we see it answered through discipleship. People that were in position. People that said, I'm not going to just leave it for this person or that person. I'll answer the call. What do you need me to do? I'll be there. When do you need me? Okay, I'm going to work a long day. I'll still show up. People who know how to grab a hold of God. Say, God, apart from you, this is pointless. I was 22 when God stepped into my life. I thought I had it together. I had a job. I had money. I knew how to manage both lives. I tasted the best of both worlds. Best grades, scholarships, partying, party life, and drugs, and all those areas. Nothing satisfied me. It was the calling of the Lord that had to change my life. To this day, the only thing I want is I want more of you, God. So the only thing I want is I want more of you, God. So I know that I need to continue for my pastor to remain in position. Amen. As we stand, I don't know if they could sing a song or not, just a light song.